So, Mary, what's
Hi.
going on?
Well, let's see. We have our national sales meeting next week. So Tim and Ben and I have been like busy beavers trying to get everything taken care of. We're doing it differently this year because we've had, we haven't really had a lot of trouble with Zoom and WebEx, but it's just not always as professional as we would like in terms of how we're structuring our sessions and the conversation. So we've all been recording our sessions for the last couple weeks. So that's been going on, but we're pretty much wrapping that up right now. So that's most of what's going on the home front. Outside of that, and maybe I'll let like would ask Ben to touch on this too if I don't want to steal his portion of the update, but struggling a little bit with some of the data stuff maybe at Morgan. So kind of seeing things change there a little bit in terms of what we have access to. We don't know about the future, but I don't know if that's something you want to talk about or work around or anything like that. But so we're slowing down a little bit at Morgan in terms of some of the PAR stuff we're doing just for now as it relates to the data. I don't know.
Yeah,
That's
no,
terrible. That's
we've had a single risk officer in question if we're seeing too much information, and so that is stopped red flags mostly internally. I don't think it's around Morgan outside of that one area, but internally, of we got to make sure that we got this process buttoned up that it's beyond reproach, and so that's slowing us down, and it's one of Tim's CG people that's causing all of our problems, so we're just going to blame Tim for
That's what came out of the big Amy project. So we didn't get a ton of names in the West, but we got ourselves a problem.
Yeah. So there is that. But I think, or we think, that we'll be able to work through that in some respect. The deal is once we're back in person with someone, we can still do all of the same things we've done before. It's just much more challenging to be able to do that remotely when we can't help the advisor by sort of, you know, getting into their computer to share their screens and do all that stuff. So again, just pockets of Morgan right now, but you know what happens at one point, you know, bubbles up at some point. So there's that. I don't know. What else, Tim?
Rob, I'll throw one out to you. Just because it was, I give Mary all the credit. She had done it with her division, but I'm not sure we ever talked about it here. Is so following what they did in the South is we had all of my people, my RVPs, segment their own business. And it was interesting because, they've been learning about it, they've been talking about it with advisors to the extent they can. And all of a sudden, we flipped it back on them to have them do their own business. And some of the people are newer and younger, but the results were pretty interesting. That the people that have been around longer, the Steve Sides, the Jessies, who were really in tune with it, they looked at it and they came out. Ironically, they both had 18A, what they would deem as 18A clients. You get the newer people who did it, who are just getting an understanding. They had, the form said 25, just the example. So they came with 25. They just followed the numbers and lost a little bit of the creativity. And then I had one come with 62 A clients, which was a little bit of a shocker for me. So I had to have those conversations. But the whole exercise, I thought it was really good because at least it got them looking at things differently. And then when you started talking about, well, what level of service are you going to give? Some were more detailed, some were really basic on what they were trying to deliver, but it was a great starting point in just getting them to think differently about it, which is ultimately going to help them not only within their own business, but when they're out talking with advisors as well. So it's a work in progress that'll continue to be a work in progress for some time, but just the results were pretty interesting to see from my standpoint.
What I'm curious as to what the level of services or the client experience that they're going to try and deliver to those A clients. You know, we talk about a financial plan, 1242, and rapid response. Is there something that you can glean from this that would be a standard of care?
It's kind of been all over the board, and it's still that work in progress. Some people who who got it a little bit better. I said the people been around longer, have better relationships. They had fewer people, and they had different things where they could go deeper. You know, it might be something they're delivering around par. It could be something they're doing around providing, you know, client dinners for them. There's just a whole wide range of things that just gets more in depth or more in tune with those people that they're dealing with and strengthening the relationships that they have with them. Some of the newer people, I mean, they're started out defining, well, my A client is somebody who gave me X amount of business. I'm like, well, have you ever even talked to some of them? And the answer might be no, they're not really a client. They're just somebody who screened you out and did business with you. And they've been more basic on what they've been trying to deliver. You know, I'm going to send an email. I'm going to do this or that. And it's like, well, that's just, you know, you're not doing anything different there. And in fairness to some people that haven't been in the field that long, it's been harder for them to develop some of the relationships, especially with COVID hitting and your, you know, work from home these days. So those are the ones that, you know, once we can get beyond COVID, I think it can really help a lot of those people where they can get out, get face to face and really start to develop that standard of care. I'd be curious your thoughts.
I mean, we were faced with the same thing. So we asked the client what they wanted, which was always curious, you know, ask them, you know, what would you like? I remember asking Blaine Werner one time, he said, I have a great relationship with my wholesalers. I asked two things from them. One is that they make an appointment, and two, they come with a good idea every time. Don't come if you don't have a good idea for me. It just seems that there should be, I mean, dinners are great, but that would be an add-on. You know, what we say is the minimum standard is financial plan 1242 and rapid response. You can add to that. You can do, more things. What's the minimum that we're going to do for these people? Are we going to talk to them once a month? Are we going to, I don't have the answer. I'm just, when anybody can't explain their standard of care, it means that there's a problem. Okay.
Yeah, I think, sorry.
Go ahead, Mary.
I was just going to say, that's really where we are now. Like, that's sort of the crossroads. And even this week, Tim and Ben and I were in a conversation with we were sharing business plans for the upcoming year, and our institutional counterpart has a really structured way that they communicate with people. You get the quarterly updates. Like, it's a very like prescriptive sort of way to communicate, but it's all based on product. So obviously on the retail side, we're a little bit more qualitative as well. And so what we're beginning to do is to apply a standard of care by building the library of what would be like sort of a 24-month calendar. So I think the first step is understand what content looks like and what that relationship and experience looks like. And our goal is, as we work through the rest of the year and we have our divisional breakouts, is to apply under, we've been working on two lenses. One is get more, one is get new with clients and overlaying. So current clients and then prospects or dabblers, and overlaying that a standard of care for asset retention, this asset retention focused for those who have assets with us on the books. Maybe they aren't actively buying, or, you know, they're dabbling and they still have assets from a long time ago. So we're really sort of just formulating that right now. The overarching goal, I think, though, is to have a menu of items, much like the calendar, where you can pull and create for that group, your A clients, or right now we have to segment A, B, and C. I think just especially for now, because our market share as a firm is much lower than where we need it to be. And so the goal is, you know, the more evolutionary, to your point, where you replace people at the bottom with people from the top. And I think we'll evolve our way there. So that's kind of where we are right now. But it's been really interesting to see the difference between, you know, being deliberate with our clients versus, I think this guy wants this, I've got to get it to him today, and I'm spending time with him today or her today, versus really having a strung together plan. And so it's been great for us to start to sort of eat our own cooking relative to Supernova and PAR. So thank you for that. And then I'll make one last comment and I'll shut up for a while, or at least for a minute. Every year, I used to send out, when I was a wholesaler, I would send a letter to my top clients, an email that said something to the effect of, and I'm actually struggling to find it now because they've deleted our email that was older than 3 years. So, but I used to say something to the effect of, it's really been great working with you. These are the things you and I talked about me delivering this year. I don't know if I delivered on them or not. I believe I did, but here's what it was. Would love your feedback. Has anything changed about how you'd like to structure our relationship? How do you like to receive, information from me or feedback? And what kind of things are you working on towards next year so I can align? And that was an extremely well-received email, and was a really good discussion point for us setting, our plan for the following year. So I think you're right. And when something works, sometimes we get away from that, Rob.
Just a comment. When we used Bill Cates's referral model, the production model now, we asked this question: what are the three things that you valued the most from your experience in working with us for the last year?
That's great.
And what are a couple of things we could do to improve that experience? So then it becomes a legitimate survey rather than seeking an affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, one of the things that I would recommend heartily would be to try and get your FAs to give you introductions to other FAs. I don't know if you do that or you work on that, but to me, that would be a skill. I mean, I would probably contact, I can do a Zoom introduction to you guys, to Bill Cates. And he can teach you his model. I don't want to teach. I mean, I'll teach you his model, but I'd rather, give credit where credit's due. Bill Cates is a great referral coach.
Yeah. Were you here, Tim? Have you worked with Bill before? We do have a relationship with Bill Cates. It's been a while. And we've all done, I think I've read Not Get More Referrals Now, and then whatever. There's another one, too. And we, as a firm, I mean, maybe 10 years ago, perhaps more than that. Bray, do you remember? Were you here?
I think when I came on board about 10 years ago, I remember hearing his name, but I don't remember him speaking at a conference or anything.
Yeah. No, Bill's great. And he has a nice system of helping advisors ask for referrals, but he did well with us too. And we have a few, Rob, in our organization that are really prescriptive about how they ask for referrals and sort of how they manage through that process. But I know that it's not consistently applied to every wholesaler. It just isn't. So
you get a bunch of new guys that you talk about all the time. This would be a great experience for them. Again, I can, I teach it, but I don't want to, it's like anything proprietary. I give him credit. I refer him and we work together. But to make sure that your wholesalers know a process for getting introductions to other FAs, that's the greatest, that's the greatest way to build business versus going in and knocking on the door cold. I mean, warm introductions, you guys know. So anyway,
right.
So using that, that's the introductory line for his model, by the way. You ask your existing clients, you find out whether they're happy. If they're not happy, you're certainly not going to ask for an introduction. But, what are the three things that you valued the most from your experience working with our team in the past year? And then what are a couple of things that we could do better? It's very important that we consistently improve our experience, particularly with you. And people are terrific about it. They'll give you great, great feedback. And then you just go on to a little brainstorming session. I will tell you right now, if I concentrated on it, wanted to do it, I could probably. One guy from Canada that loves me right now, I bet I could get 5 referrals from him in one meeting. Just like that. Okay. I don't want to do it because I don't want to follow him. Okay. But I love referrals and I want you guys to give me referrals. It's just that I'm too busy right now. And so I'm just happy right now. I had 7 Zoom calls yesterday. I got one at 8:30.
Huh.
And this is my day. So life is good, but But I think that there, you know, that would be something that you know, you can build on and get on. But I would want to work on a standard of care for those A clients and really brainstorm where every single one of them gets this. Okay. They all get at least a call a month. All right. The other thing that you want to do is you want to, in that 24-month calendar, you want to think like an FA. There was a Barron's article this week, past week, and that gave five ideas for the tax planning for the end of the year. And every FA I've talked to didn't know this was true. They didn't know that the CARE Act, you know, the CARE Act provided for the ability to not take your required minimum distribution, to put it back in, right? You know, everybody remembers that. Nobody remembers that you can give cash contributions this year only up to 100% of your adjusted gross income.
Huh.
Cash contributions to charities up to 100% of your adjusted gross income. Well, you know, that's one of the things that they restricted to 30% of your adjusted gross income. So no matter, you know, you can't get a deduction beyond 30% of your adjusted gross income when you normally give charitable contributions. You know, you'd hope you could. This year you can do 100%. So that changed the way I'm giving. Okay. Because it doesn't apply to stocks. It only applies to cash. So I'm going to give, you know, the end of the year charitable things I'm going to be giving away in cash. Marcia was like, you want me to write a check? You never let me write a check. I'm always having to give stock. I said, yeah, it's more efficient. Okay. But so there's a conversation that every one of your wholesalers should have with every single A client this month.
Yeah, now. That's a great idea.
All right. So just look in Barron's. It's real. People went, oh my God, I didn't know that. Yeah, I'm going to call my client. I mean, what if you end the year and those clients didn't know that? You know, that, and for charitable people that are got, you know, have a 5-year commitment, that can make a big difference. They should load that up this year, right? Prepay some of those 5-year commitments. That's the kind of thing where you guys can, you know, brainstorm on, okay, here's our 24-month calendar, but here's something that's really current. And this will be interesting for all of our FAs. And then, you know, they'll never forget that when you make that phone call. They'll remember that.
Yeah.
I mean, we can do a lot for them, but giving them a good idea, all right, one good idea, and make an appointment. I would make that the standard of care for all of your A clients. Everybody gets a call every month. Everybody gets a good idea. And they're all appointments that are set.
Rob, how would you approach, so part of the challenge we have is that how you define an A client, in that our A clients, we incentivize our wholesalers in gross sales, not in AUM. And so the people who hold the most of our assets are not actually our wholesaler A clients. Their A clients are all their prospects who can do more business. And so the standard of care fits really well with asset holders, in that you are a client now, you want this information, we're going to keep you updated. But it's very different from a prospecting perspective. And, you know, there's a deep question here, the overall alignment of compensation with firm goals. But if you ask, you know, a random wholesaler who their A clients are, they may or may not be the top who don't own assets.
All right. So here's what I would do. I would say, these are my A clients based on how I get paid. Okay. And these are my A clients, my A prospects based on how I will get paid.
So Ben and I we're so incongruent on this. It's like the only thing Ben and I aren't like 1,000% on the same page with, because I look at it as that is definitely true on the front end. You are completely right, Ben. That is definitely how we compensate people. But on the back end of that, to have a sustainable practice over time, means you have to have deep relationships with people who are, who have assets on the books. Doesn't necessarily mean right away you're going to get more, because I mean, there are relationships really big, like Cornerstone's a great example, where I would get 10 million 1 year and I wouldn't get anything for 3 or 4 more years, and I would get 20 million there. Like, they, you get money from them over time, but if I didn't properly service or maintain them as an A client or participate in their client events or all the things that I would do for someone who was on my pipeline, they wouldn't exist on my pipeline later on. And that's the right thing to do. So that is, you're totally right, because I see why they do it that way. But somehow we have to get them to understand that a healthy business is more than just what's on the front end of your practice.
Oh, no, I completely agree. And in that scenario, they would be an A client because there's the potential for that business. Right. But, you know, we also have clients like that are at ESI that we purchased that hold $10 million and can't do more business. They just can't.
Right.
So the way we attacked in the East was we had A, B, and C, and then a service clients. Standard care for A, B, and C, and then there's a service level, clients that we're not expecting more business from, but they're clients of Touchstone that, you know, we're not incentivized to service, but that's why we get paid a salary. And there's a standard of care on service. But it's just, it's so much different than the advisor world, where your biggest clients last year will be your biggest clients next year and the next year, because of the way that they're compensated.
Right.
We're very different from that.
Yeah, and in that case, I don't see any problem with having three levels of service, okay? I mean, we talk about when we're centers of influence, we want to meet with our centers of influence. Let's say I have three CPAs. I want to meet with the center of influence once a month, my number one guy. He's at bat. Guys on deck, quarterly. Guys in the dugout, semi-annual.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm good with that. I just need to be constantly aware of where they are in their lifespan. This guy, number one's about to retire. I better put number two up to bat, right?
Yeah.
And do monthly with him. So it's a little different in that case. It's servicing centers of influences. Yeah, I think it'd be probably closer to that. So, and I would do that, by the way. I would give more emphasis to centers of influence. People that love you and refer you, I would have a separate standard of care for them that would be higher than what they normally would get because they give me introductions. So, you know, you just fluff it up, whatever that would be. But I'd spend some time on this. I mean, I know you do, but yeah. I would try and really see if you can quantify it as much as possible. The more you quantify it, the less people are all over the place. And then you can add to it. Just say, look, this is our minimum standard of care. Okay. Everybody gets this. Let's use this as our brand. This is what we're going to do. And this is going to make us different from everybody else.
But
I believe in wasting
Ben
time.
Brought up a really, oh, sorry. I apologize. I was just going to say Ben brought up a really good point though. So the whole concept of how we structure our practice and how we service people implies that we have a foundation of people to service. And when you've got, and Tim, you're going to have some of the same thing, right? We talked about this year. When you've got brand new wholesalers or wholesalers that have taken on a carve out or something that is just a nascent territory in terms of sales, there certainly is a starting point, especially in a normalized environment where you can have physical access to someone and have a presence and all that stuff. And I'm not suggesting there's no way to do that outside of those parameters. But in reality, if you've got no real asset base, it's very difficult to apply any standard of care or anything. It's sort of like they're brand new FAs in the training program and no one's giving them any access or any, assets or no one's partnering them with a mentor or a team that has assets and can help them grow. And so that, like, we're serving two masters here, helping current wholesalers and then really solving for prospecting in a crazy environment. So if we could crack the code on new referrals for people who have no current relationships and prospecting, we're cracking the code for our entire asset management wholesaling, I think, dilemma.
I think you can do it. You just have to do it through introductions. You have to figure out ways of getting introductions from people that even existing team members that have been in territories. You know, they move around, right? And so they've been in a territory, they know people, so they introduce them on a Zoom call to their to the new wholesaler to build that relationship. I mean, you guys know how to do this stuff. All right, I've got to run, but thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Rob. It was good seeing you.
We'll do it in 2 weeks, okay?
Take care.
Bye, Rob. Thank you.
Bye, Mary.
Bye-bye.